Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, the Life Coach Radio Network. My name is Shiv Paul, and I am here with fellow life coaches Mike Jesse and Veronica Taylor. And we are discussing Super Soul Sunday today. So we have just watched Oprah's Super Soul Sunday with singer-songwriter India Ari. And what I found really interesting about that show, guys, was, here is a woman who really gets a sense of herself through singing, songwriting, and, you know, using music as a vehicle for delivering her message to people, and, you know, scales the heights of success. But actually, through the course of that, you know, she said herself in the course of her interview with Oprah, her soul became sick. So what interests me about that is, you know, you're doing something that you love, something that really feeds you and energizes you, but, you know, getting on a certain path in order to make that happen also put her soul in a very, got her into a very bad way and caused her to really question what she was doing and change her life. What about the show resonated with you guys in terms of what India was talking about?
Well, Shiv, I think for me, what resonated, the overall message that I got from her was that you really have to look within and find what is your true purpose and what you're meant to do with that. Whether you're a songwriter, whether you're in front of the screen as a movie star, or just a person living your life every day. And it's such a personal journey that you can't find it somewhere else or by trying to live your life doing things through someone else's agenda. It's our personal job to find what that means to us. And that's really powerful.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a very powerful statement as well. But what is interesting to me about that and what you just said is that, you know, it's one thing to find your purpose. You know, that is our job in life, right? To find your purpose. But it's another thing to make that happen in a way that doesn't compromise your mental health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, and that's not always easy to do. Like sometimes you find out what your purpose is and you get on that path, but during the course of that, you know, other things come into play which can cause you to miss out on the enjoyment and the fun of that and things like that. Mike, what did you think from the show?
I love that. I got to say, I'm a huge fan of India Ari right now. I didn't really know much about her until this show, to be honest. And I have to say that probably everything she said resonated with me. I think of all the books I've read, all the coaching I've been through, all of the stories I've heard, hers truly resonates with me probably the most of any that I heard. And when kind of preparing for the call, it was kind of interesting. I was listening intently to the show, and I really think for us as coaches and how we could, you know, maybe help those listening and those that we coach is really starting from the end of the show, where India said, "You be clear on your intentions, and the universe will rise up to meet you where you are." It's such a huge, powerful statement, and it was followed by what Oprah said: "You're responsible for your own life, and don't wait until the end of your life to figure it out. Figure out what you want." And these are things two things that really resonate with me as I build my practice, as I really understand what it is that makes my, you know, makes me tick and how I want to spend the rest of my life. And I just, the message was so clear, so concise, and so authentic to what I'm trying to accomplish and want to help my clients accomplish that I just, I'm kind of like choked up really talking about it.
You know, as coaches, it's the major part of what we do is, or a big part of what we do is helping facilitate people along their journey. And a big part of that is identifying with them what is it that their purpose is. I find that with the coaching that I do, it's somehow has manifested that a lot of it is, my clients are going through career transitions, career changes and things like that, and they're really trying to identify what is it that they want to be doing with their life. But I'm interested to know what you guys think, because, you know, that's only part of the equation, right? You know, identifying what you want to do is part of things, but how to actually make that happen in a healthy way, in a responsible way, and in a way that still allows you to live according to your values. What this was my takeaway from the interview that we just watched with Oprah and Nindya Eri, is that actually those two things are quite different things. And like I say, that's what interested me. Is like, you know, she knew, I think, quite clearly early on that she wanted to reach people through this vehicle of music, and that obviously is her calling and it's her passion and it's tied up into everything that she is. But even for her, going through that journey and achieving that, you know, it made her spiritually ill. You know, she had to retire and take time off to really go and rediscover, I guess, her true values and like what this vehicle really meant to her and how she actually wanted to achieve that mission, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
what do you guys think
good...
about? Sorry, go ahead, Veronica.
I just think that was a really good point, is that although she was on her journey of doing what she knows she's meant to do, that it didn't take away the fact that there were going to be some challenges to really become herself and own that. And what's interesting is that as we all go through our lives, we may have a sense of what direction we want to go. However, there's always going to be obstacles to keep you from there, whether it's people in your life or people that you encounter on a daily basis. And that's where the importance is, where she said that the real job in your life is to, she said, your real job in the world is to be you. So even though you know what you want to do in life, and for her it's music, but how does she want to show up while she's doing her music? And how you want to show up in the world doing everything that you do? And it's interesting because you really hear at other people's stories, and Mike was saying all these stories he's heard, and even my own personal story, which resonated a lot with what she was saying today, is that for us to really find ourselves, we kind of have to fall first. And that's really where we really, really learn about ourselves when we're at our worst. And that's essentially what happened to her. And in my personal story, that's exactly what happened to me. So as people are trying to find their way through, I just like to remind people, our listeners, and I tell these to my clients as well, don't shy away from the pain or that experience where you do have to fall, because that is really where all your prayers and all the answers that you're looking for, that's where they're going to be, so that you can rebuild yourself from the bottom up.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because it sounds like she was redefining her life, and she wasn't sure if music was going to be part of her new life, but she apparently has discovered that that's the place where she could get her message across. Because she said when she went into seclusion, she really wasn't sure where that was going to take her, but she had that spiritual breakthrough, and it turned out that she was still able to express herself in music. So a couple of questions that come to mind when I think about the show, how it applies to me and how it applies to my clients. One is, do we necessarily have to make these dramatic changes in our lives, or can we make these subtle changes that just sort of redefine our mission or our purpose? So, you know, we may all be doing something that doesn't really resonate with us at the moment. However, if we reframe what we're doing and the purpose for which we're doing it, sometimes that new life doesn't look all that much different from our old life, from what we're actually doing. Like, let's say, for instance, in India's case, she's still involved in music. She just has a different purpose and a different message that's more authentic and more aligned with her life and what she wants to get out of life. But the avenue for her to express it is still the same. So
yeah,
I guess my question, it was very subtle that she sort of realigned herself, but she's all, you know, internally she's a lot different. Externally, mm-hmm. she's kind of doing the same thing, just, you know, with a slightly different message.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's an important point, actually, especially with the work that we're doing. You know, a lot of this is bound up in expectations and, you know, what are realistic expectations and things like that. And I think often I have found with my clients that that sometimes their expectations are not necessarily defined by themselves. You know, they're so bound up in other people's expectations or society's expectations and things like that. And it's really necessary to take the time to define those expectations yourself. So, you know, for example, you want to find out what your purpose is, but then, you know, is it, people have an expectation that should manifest immediately, and you know, it should happen much more quickly than it should, without really understanding where that sense of urgency comes from, as an example. So I think it's really important to do that. And, you know, the second thing, from what I heard you saying just now, Mike, is, you know, this concept of mission statements and things like that, which can change, and that's mm-hmm. totally okay. You know, they can be expanded, they can take on different nuances and things like that. But, the core of it may remain. But, you know, to your point, the avenues that you may do that or the vehicles that you may use in order to fulfill that mission statement can change. And it's important for people to be comfortable with that, right? That's sort of also bound up in that sense of what is success and what is failure. And I think this comes back to something you said at the beginning of the call, Veronica, or you mentioned in a little earlier on, is that, you know, it's necessary to fall down, right? To sense of realization, to kickstart you into sort of, you know, getting back up the chain. How do you guys work with clients on expectation setting and getting them comfortable with failure, or even actually comfortable with standing up and saying no? If we think mm-hmm. about the interview that we just watched between Oprah and India Airy, you know, it takes a lot for somebody to walk away from everything that they've worked hard to build up.
You know, how do you guys get people comfortable with the notion of even doing that?
Well, Shiv, I think in my experience and what I've observed with my clients and also with myself is trying to figure out within yourself what your intentions are with your life. What are your values? What are the things that really, really speak to you, to your core? And then try to align those things to how you are living your life and how in alignment are you living with your actions, and are they, you know, are you marrying those actions to those values? And that's where I usually find my clients are off balance. And that's exactly what had happened to me before I started my coaching journey. I was completely off from what I really valued in my life, and I discovered, and a lot of my clients discovered this very same thing that we heard on the show today, which is they were living their life through someone else's expectations. And in my personal experience, I resonate with her story because I was living my life through my mother's expectations. And I had come up at 30 years old, and I had everything that I was supposed to have. And in her eyes, I was successful, but I wasn't happy. And that's when I really had to start looking within myself to try to figure out why is it that I'm so miserable, so anxious. And I have a beautiful home. I have a great job. I have family. I have money. None of those things do I lack, but I wasn't fulfilled. And we mentioned earlier, how can we help our clients try to find that path? And we just talked about a mission statement. And through my coaching, I'm a leadership coach. So I try to work with my clients in both aspects of their lives, which is their personal and their professional. And we usually hear writing mission statements in a corporate setting. However, we really do have to think about writing our own personal mission statement. And what do we want that to look like? What do we want our lives to look like? And that's a great place to start, is to write a mission statement, a visual story that you want to recreate in your life. And essentially, that's where I started. And it's a tremendous path to show you what your life could really look like, and then work backwards and take the steps to marry those core values with your actions, and you will see your life begin to change.
I agree. I like to work with clients to go through that exercise of creating a personal mission statement. You know, what would that be? And it's always very interesting what people come up with, because it is very bound up in, you know, people's values and sense of self and things like that. And I think that, you know, Inge Ari talked a lot about wanting clarity and really taking time to get that clarity about her life and where she wanted to go and things like that. And I think it's a very powerful exercise for people to sit down and really construct a personal mission statement that they can keep with them and remind themselves of their purpose and their goal and really what they want to achieve.
And Shiv, I'd like to add a little bit about that, because on the show, Oprah talked about The Walking Dead. And if you're doing, if you're right now wondering what else is out there for you and you don't know where to go, but what you really have to think about is you're always living outside of yourself, meaning that you're not in the present moment, although you're worried about what has happened to you in the past and you're just deathly afraid of what's coming in the future, you're essentially living that life of the walking dead. And that is the first that's the first step for you to come to the realization that you need something deeper in your life. And it's time to go out there and find it. So if you feel like you're living that walking dead life and you don't feel fulfilled, then it's time to do some self-awareness.
That's a great point. I mean,
not everyone can necessarily go and live on an island as India Airy did, and you know, give everything up to just really live that life of seclusion. Because for you know, many of us, you know, real life gets in the way, and you know, different kinds of responsibilities and things like that. But what are some of the ways that you guys encourage clients and things like that to get to that sense of doing the work to become more self-aware? Because I think it's one thing when you reach that stage where you realize something has to change. But what are some easy sort of sustainable ways that people can start to actually do that work? I mean, you know, we talked about this concept of getting people to sit down and think of personal statements and mission statements, and, you know, something I always challenge my clients to do, which I find a lot of people don't tend to do a lot of, is really take some personal time out of their day for themselves. You know, that's really incredibly important. And I think that's one way that you can sort of start to just really spend time with yourself and to become more self-aware. But do you guys use other exercises and things like that, either, you know, yourselves or with your clients to help them get to that stage?
I think this raises a lot of great, great questions. And Veronica, I just want to say I love the way you kind of summarized you know, what you had said before, because a lot of what you said resonated with me. And one of the questions that I was going to bring up earlier is how, you're right, real life does get in the way sometimes, right? And what's kind of interesting, I guess, is we try to map out our own transitions and our transitions of our clients. There's a little bit of a tendency to let life get in the way. And the main thing that I find that gets in the way, and we talk about life getting in the way, is sort of the financial demands that a lot of us have on ourselves to just not give up, even if we had a clear picture on exactly what we wanted to do. For example, if you were an attorney and wanted to, you know, making several hundred thousand dollars a year supporting a family, and all of a sudden wanted to follow a career path or a path in music, that transition for a lot of people looks very, very difficult because of all the financial burdens that the person already has. And sometimes the financial success of an individual makes the transition more difficult, because if you have nothing to lose, then following your passion doesn't really lead to any worse set of circumstances than you're already in. If you are successful on paper, when I say on paper, I mean, you know, basically financially and having assets, but along with those assets come a lot of obligations. It makes that transition very difficult. So what I like to do, I sort of focus on a lot of like executive life coaching. And what we find is that there's just people in transition from where they are to where they want to go. And I think a couple of things come out during these sessions. And the main thing is that, from what I could tell, is a lot of people have their own answers. A lot of them know where they want to go. Now, they haven't necessarily been able to articulate it, because nobody's ever opened up the avenue for them to articulate. So what I do as a coach, I just like to create a safe, open, honest environment where they know that whatever they tell me is confidential and without judgment. And I find that people will tell me that, even friends who really aren't necessarily a pure kind of coaching relationship with me, and they'll say something like, I've never ever really said this before. I've never expressed this to anybody before. You're the only one I've ever told this to. And these are people who maybe I've known for, you know, a good portion of my life, or people that I coach now who are new coaching clients of mine who I may only know for a few short months. And that, them knowing that they could trust us and the same client relationship that exists in all professional practices, whether it's law or doc or the client relationship, privacy and confidentiality exists in the coaching world. And it's a safe place and a non-judgmental place for them to really discuss what really makes, you know, what makes, what I like to do is use their name and say, you know, what makes John tick? What makes Susan tick? And it really starts to put the spotlight and the flashlight on them to say, hey, you know, if there were, and oftentimes I'll ask, what if there were no barriers? What if there was, you know, no boundaries? What excites you? And when you ask questions that really gets them to think and open up with regard to all these things that really drive them. Like I work with one client who happens to be in finance, a similar industry I'm in. And I'm like, if there were no boundaries, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would you want to do? And he said, I would love to be a teacher and coach baseball. And I was like, what's stopping you? He's like, well, I really love to make money because I measure success by how much money I make. And it's very interesting because money and things are one of the outwardly thing most of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you could be the smartest person in the world, but if you're failing exams because you don't like to take tests, you don't look as smart as somebody who's a straight A student, but it doesn't mean that you're not a brilliant person. You know, it's just not coming out on paper. So what I take away from that is sometimes the person has the ultimate dream outlined for themselves. They already know what it is that they want to, where they want to go. And what I always try and do, since I'm in a transition and I look at myself a little bit as a sort of a transition coach, is say, okay, this is your current life. We understand we might not be able to turn that completely off tomorrow, right? So let's reframe that and say, what are the good pieces of that job that I could take away? Like, oh, you know, I have flexible hours. I work with some great people. A part of me still, in a perfect world, still likes what I do. Okay, so we're going to take those pieces of our current situation, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job, we're going to basically reframe that particular situation to just kind of have the glass half full versus the glass half empty type of mentality. Then what we're going to do is what are the baby steps we could start putting in place to bring us closer to that ultimate goal. So we almost sort of have like these, this parallel approach to our current life, and maybe this is a little conservative, right? So, you know, our current life, and we marry that, we used the word marriage before, we marry that with our passions. And what's kind of interesting about that, and it's something I've done personally, is when you're taking your current life and you reframe it, and you marry it with your passions, all of a sudden, that current life that's kind of holding us back and we're not loving so much, it becomes less important because we're going after what we really love and what we really want to be. And it just and that piece of our life becomes a smaller and smaller piece, holding us back less and less from what we really want to accomplish. And that really, and sorry for kind of taking up so much time with that, but that to me is what I'm experiencing in my own life and what I really, really try to get my clients to do. They have the answers. They know where they want to be. As coaches, we're pulling it out and helping them set the course. And it doesn't necessarily have to be black and white. There could be this sort of subtle transition and this subtle work around where we are versus where we want to go. And the excitement that comes out of my clients when we discover what their true passions are, really where they want to go, just carries them to that next level and helps get them there. And it's amazing that somebody who might be in a finance job for 25 years and is miserable in the current environment and their current workplace and all these other things could reframe their lives and redefine their lives in a period of weeks, sometimes days or hours, and find a whole new meaning to their lives and make complete transformations in short amounts of time.
I think that's great. On the radio with my fellow coaches, Veronica Taylor and Mike Giassi, my name is Shiv Paul, and we are talking about Super Soul Sunday. We've just watched Oprah interview India Ari, the singer-songwriter, talking about her journey from becoming a very successful singer-songwriter, selling millions of albums, winning Grammys, but that leading her towards a spiritual awakening or reawakening, let's say. Veronica, I'm interested to know something, you know, we had talked about earlier on the prep call for this, about this notion of spirituality and what does that really mean? I think sometimes that can scare people or their definitions, you know, may not necessarily resonate. And something that we had talked about is, you know, having that personal definition of spirituality can really sort of constitute anything. Have you found that, like, in your own journey and, you know, with your clients, do you get them to sort of embrace a more spiritual outlook?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're so right when it comes to that question, that we all have it. We all come up to a certain point in our lives where we're wondering, so what is my purpose and what is spirituality? What does it mean to me? And it is a very, very intimidating question, which used to scare me just up the wall. I didn't get it. And I was in dire need of finding that answer for myself. And through my spiritual journey, what I found was, and this is my personal definition of spirituality, is that I truly believe that when we come into this world, we are whole, perfect, and complete. We are a clean slate. We are a open canvas. And we hear that all the time. You know, we don't have any inhibitions. We don't have any insecurities. And as we go through our journey in life, there's a lot of things that start, pictures begin to be drawn on our canvas, and they're not necessarily ours. And that whole perfect and complete that we own from day one begins to dim a certain light. And it's inevitable. It's the walk of life. I don't think that's anything that we can change when we're so young. And those experiences in life are supposed to teach us something. They're meant for having an experience and making our lives what they are in the moment and moving forward. However, when we do get older and we are wiser, in a sense, and we have the ability of having a conscious mind and making choices, we come to a halt where we start questioning what's happening around us, what's happening to us. And for me, my spiritual journey really was about finding my way back, finding my path, my own personal true path of becoming whole, perfect, and complete again. And it's not an easy journey, and there's a lot of trials and tribulations, and there are a lot of things that you have to do to find what that means to you. So for me, that's what spirituality is finding that path to becoming again whole, perfect, and complete. And if anything that I can say to our listeners and I say to my clients is that we all are. That is our given right when we come into this world, is to be whole, perfect, and complete. And we all owe it to ourselves to find that path so that we can go back to where we came from and live your life spiritually from that place. And that's what I feel spirituality is.
What about you, Shirley? Yeah. What do you think?
What do I think spirituality is?
What
I mean?
Spirituality means you, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it's really bound up in just living a more balanced life and, you know, what are the components that help people live in a more balanced way, you know, and that's something that India Uri was talking a lot about in terms of her journey when she came to that crossroads. Everything was not in balance. I mean, you know, for me personally, I think there are several components that help me achieve that. And it's you know, being creative, that creativity is a big part of it. You know, exercise and moving and, you know, using your body in the way that it's intended is also a big part of that. You know, all of those kinds of things have a very meditative component in them for me. You know, I enjoy the sort of meditative component of exercising, for example, and I think there's something spiritual about that because it's all really about connecting your mind, your heart, your body, you know, your soul at the same time. So for me, that's really what spirituality is. It's sort of, you know, aligning yourself as best as you can with all of those components. But this is why it's called a practice, right? You know, it's sort of like, you know, I engage in these kinds of activities. I try to meditate often, or frequently, I should say, you know, every day. But that doesn't translate into feeling balanced and happy and great all the time. You know, we still have good days and bad days and things like that. But it's really about the purpose of having a practice like that for me is to allow you to manage those different kinds of adversities much better. And that's something that India Eri talked about as well, I think, that came across in the interview. You know, after her taking a break and sort of, you know, re-energizing her soul and making herself better, you know, she is now back, she has a new album, she has a new single out and things like that, and she's doing it very much on her own terms. But they talked a lot about the controversy that her single cover photo caused in the Black community. And, you know, as you guys saw, the cover was her in a sort of gold-colored embroidered dress, you know, set against a sort of gold metallic background, and her skin looked very golden as well. But the controversy was that people accused her of lightening her skin, you know, to make herself more attractive and more appealing and to sell records and things like that. But what was interesting about that whole debate was the way that adversity or controversy affected her much differently than it would have done years ago. You know, she said at the beginning it didn't really affect her at all. And then it was sort of looking at it through a different angle of why it was, what was affecting her about it. You know, she was upset about the fact that people were being really abusive to her through all of these different mediums, but not about the topic itself, but just about the fact that they felt that they could speak to anyone in that way is what upset her. So I found it interesting that, you know, her sort of building that foundation and having a more stronger spiritual self just allowed her to manage, you know, these kinds of things in a very different and more positive way. So that's a very long-winded way of me giving my interpretation of what spirituality means to me. But, you know, I think you guys would agree that a big part of this is really about managing
managing things better, managing reactions better, because, you know, these things are not going to stop, right? You know, they're always going to be around us. And I think that's also another very important thing to remind not only ourselves about, but it's something that that comes up a lot in coaching with my clients as well. You know, it's sort of necessary to remind people. And that's why I like this idea of a personal mission statement, or, you know, actually writing out your goals and putting them somewhere where you can be reminded of the purpose, you know, the reason that you're actually doing something, I think is a very fruitful exercise.
Yeah, definitely, Shivan. I think I'd like to expand a little bit about that, because I'm wondering right now, my intuition is telling me that if maybe we have a couple of or a few listeners hearing our conversation about spirituality, and if they don't quite know what it is yet, they're exploring that. So a good practical way that I, you know, approach the question with my clients is, what practical way can you put this in motion? And we talked about the personal mission statement earlier, but think about the five areas of your life that are going to make you that whole, perfect, and complete person again, and write down in your mission statement all the aspects, and I categorize them. They're the five top areas of your life, which is your physical self, your mental self, your social self, and your spiritual self, and putting your work life, your career, your passion that you want to, how you want to live your life, and incorporate all those five different areas into your mission statement. And be extremely elaborate. And when I say elaborate, put in the colors that you see or envision, the things that you'll be wearing, the smells that are around you. Where are you? What are you driving? If you know, what you want is some sort of material aspect in your life, which is completely okay. That should definitely be part of your mission statement. All those different components need to be written down into your mission statement so that it becomes something that really resonates and it comes alive for you. And obviously, putting in the spiritual aspect will bring into light what spirituality potentially means to you.
That's great. Thank you for that. Mike, what are some of your experiences in terms of, you know, helping clients discover a spiritual path or spiritual process?
That's a great question. If I could spend a brief moment on my definition of spirituality, like, I just think that we have this inner voice, this inner being that's telling us, you know, what we want to do, what values we have, and how we can align ourselves with those values. Now, I generally think that when we're meeting, at least, you know, I'm sure all of us, the clients that we're meeting, all have a high value system. So you're starting with somebody who has a high level of awareness, a tremendous value system, and really generally interested in doing the right thing, not only for themselves, but for all the people around them that they love and come in contact with on a regular basis. So when I think of spirituality, I think of, and what I try and convey to my clients is this inner voice, and not this inner voice that's knocking you down and telling you what you can't do, but this inner voice telling you what you want to do. And I'm looking back. India said, I think The Walking Dead is a good example of somebody who's just kind of going through the motions. And she said something very quickly. Is she kind of felt like she feels a shakiness in her stomach. So what I look at that is sort of this gut feeling that we have that is driving us and becomes a driving force for what we really want. And we have this we feel like we're the walking dead, or we have this shakiness in our stomach, this anxiety or queasiness that things just don't feel right, I feel that there's a higher authority, whether it's internal or external, depending on your belief, there's this higher authority that is telling us what we should be doing. And when I work with my clients, I really try to help them discover what is that, whatever that being is for you, however it shows up for you, whatever the meaning around that is for you, what is it telling you that you really want to do? And what are some of the things that are driving? You know, like I talk to, you know, men who feel like they are the providers and that they have to do whatever they have to do to provide for the family, and oftentimes they sacrifice their well-being. And when I coach women, they also feel that they are the caretakers, that it's their responsibility that they take care of the children, and they oftentimes are taking care of everybody else at the same time sacrificing themselves. The message I try and tell them is that it's not that you need to start taking care of yourself, because if you break down, everything breaks down. And putting yourself first doesn't necessarily mean you're being selfish. It means that you want to show up differently so that you could be better for everybody else around you, all those same people that you're providing for or trying to be a caretaker for. So when I think of spirituality, I think of what it is that becomes your true being and your purpose. Whoever is telling you that, like I said, whether it's internal, external, if you believe in God, whatever it might be, discovering that and going for it, knowing that you're aligned and you're being more authentic to your true self. And that's the most important thing that you can do, and the most important way that you could show up, not only for yourself, but for everybody around you, the people that love you and the people that you love. Because without that in place, you're sacrificing a lot. You're not showing up who you want to be. And I think India also talks about this, you know. But
I want to pick up on something that you said, which is this notion of being selfish, right? You know, I think that's a very common thing that we come across as well. And it's really out there as well. But, you know, taking time out for yourself is often perceived as a really selfish activity, but actually, you know, I believe it's very necessary. I mean, that's what we're basically saying, and that was one of the focuses of the interview between Oprah and India Eri. You know, you have to take time for yourself in order to, one, become more self-aware, you know, one, take care of yourself and all of these sorts of things. And I'm curious, Veronica, you know, do you face that a lot as well, where, you know, clients, for example, may dismiss that notion of taking personal time or spending time with themselves because they think that it's a selfish activity?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's one of the main reasons that my clients come to me where they feel that they're having setbacks in certain areas of their life, and some of them in all of the areas of their life, and what they don't realize that the main component that they're missing is that personal time, that personal space, having the ability to look within and do it in a peaceful manner. I work with a lot of women, and in my practice, it's all about finding self-awareness and finding your true innate abilities to find leadership in your life, and personal and professional. And what I try to tell and teach my clients is that for you to be able to find that, those components of your life that will drive you to success comes with that personal time. And women have a huge problem with that concept, because a lot of us are taught to be caretakers, to put other people first, and to always be there for everyone. And what's lost through that message, which I think is a great thing to do, we obviously want to be helpful people, we want to to make other people happy. That's one part of our life, but it's not everything. And it's redirecting that message and letting women know that the only way that you can be better and be productive and be successful in all aspects of your life, it really needs to start with you and putting yourself first. Nurture yourself, your soul, your mind, your spirit. And once you can do that for yourself, not only do you show up better for those around you, not just your family, the people you interact with on a daily basis, but you can really walk the talk, right? You can't really be there 100% for someone else if you don't know what that means for you and how you show up for yourself. So when you really know what that means, you can truly embody it, you will show up in front of other people a completely different person, where really your words of wisdom or the advice or the way that you are trying to help other people will show up differently. You will show up whole, and people will sense that. You don't need to use your words anymore. It's something that you will exude from the inside out. And that's literally what I try to teach my clients. And it's easier. It's so much easier. In my personal story, I was doing that my whole entire life. That was my purpose before my journey. And I was exhausted. And India Reed even said it. She said, I was so tired. I was always tired. And that really hit a chord for me because it took me back to that space where I was constantly exhausted, tired. And it wasn't just physically. You know, I used to come home at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock after a 10-hour day and fall asleep because I was so physically exhausted. But it wasn't just physically. It was emotionally, it was spiritually, it was mentally. And when you
Go ahead.
Yes, if you can really, really take care of yourself first, it's not that hard anymore. It doesn't have to take every ounce out of you to be able to do it.
I wanted to, sorry I interrupted, but I was loving what you were saying, but I was interested to know, and I know you touched on this a little bit before, but how did you start to make that change? Like, you'd obviously got to a stage in your life where you realized that, you know, something needed to change and that, you know, you weren't necessarily living the life that you wanted. But what were the sort of initial steps that you took in order to encourage that change in your life?
Well, I'll keep it short because it's a very long story. But for me, I had to lose everything. And when I say everything, it was everything that was important to me. I literally defined myself and my life and who I was by the job that I did and the relationship that I had with my mother. And I literally lost those two things in a matter of 1 week. And it wasn't by choice. Those things were taken from me. You know, I had lost my job, and my mother said to me, I never want to speak to you again. And it was mainly because I wasn't living by her expectations. And I was not living my true self doing that job that I was doing. And the universe just said to me, you know, this is not for you. You need to find something else. And in the moment, I didn't realize that it was just a very, very painful experience, which I literally moped, cried, didn't eat, didn't sleep for 2.5 months. And from there, I had a poignant dream, which really, really, really hit a chord out of this whole conversation today when India Ari said, you know, and she saw herself as this beautiful, shiny building that from the outside it just looked perfect, but in the inside she had nothing but chaos. And literally after that happened to me, I had a dream the very next day where I was in this beautiful home. And from the outside, it was gorgeous. But when I walked into that house, everything was in shambles. The walls were falling apart. The floors were falling apart. There was mud everywhere. There was mold. And in the dream, I began to tear everything apart, and I was trying to clean it up. And it was such a huge job, but I was trying so hard to fix what was already there. And eventually in the dream, I came to the realization that I couldn't clean it up. It was too much work. I had to rebuild. And then when I had everything taken apart and I was ready to put it back together, I found that the house was built on sand. And I woke up.
Oh.
And that literally, that dream literally told me that the life that I was living could not be rebuilt. I had to move completely out of the environment that I was currently in and start rebuilding somewhere else. And that is where my journey started. And it's been a long one, but it was well worth it.
That's so interesting. That's a very, I think that's an example of the universe really pointing you in the right direction, you know, having that very sort of specific dream is really amazing. And I think that's a really great example of what we've been talking about in this hour, and also what India Arie and Oprah were talking about in terms of the universe really rising up to help you out and to show you, you know, what you need to be doing and you know, where you need to go. We only have a few minutes left, guys. Closing thoughts, comments from both of you. I'd love to know what your advice would be for people out there who are at this crossroads and want to know more about what a spiritual life means, and also, you know, closing comments and thoughts about the conversation that Oprah had with India Arie. Mike?
I think that the show really epitomizes what we should be really striving for as human beings, and just finding what our true authentic self is and getting aligned with that. And sometimes it's even for people who are super highly aware and, you know, high achievers, sometimes we do need help, you know, discovering that and getting that help, whether it's through therapist or counseling or a life coach or just a good friend. You should seek that out and not be embarrassed to want more out of life and discover what that is and go for it. So just do it.
Great. That's great. Thank you. Veronica?
Yes, I think the most important thing that comes up for me is for people to really listen to themselves, listen to what's happening to them around them. You know, the universe speaks to us on a daily basis, and sometimes it jolts us, and sometimes it's a very gentle tap. And the lesson there is that we should be aware of what's happening to us. And how is it happening to us, and how is it going to play out, and so that we can move forward as people. So just listen to what's happening for you. And whichever way that you look or find for help, just ask questions, be curious, and you will find the answer that you're looking for.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you, both of you. And I would echo what both of you have said, in order to find your true path and your true calling, just be aware, you know, listen, as Veronica was saying, just go out and do it, as Mike was saying. And also, you know, really take some time to listen to yourself, you know, be aware of your body, of your mind, of all the different kinds of sensations that you're having, because they are clues about what's working and what's not working and, you know, what you should be doing. I want to thank both of my fellow coaches, Veronica Taylor, Mike Jassy, thank you very much for joining and engaging in this interesting discussion that we had around spirituality. My name is Shiv Paul, and we thank you for listening. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.